Good morning, boys and girls, cats and dogs, ladies and gentlemen, and Democrats, Republicans, and old people, young people, cute people, unattractive people. Everybody listening, we appreciate your ears being proximitous to your radio or listening device. It's time for a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam, which of course is I. Who else will be telling wisecracks on a Monday morning? And Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, my occasional and frequent, or as they say in the UK, often. I say often because that's the American pronunciation. Partner in crime, brother in broadcasting, master of the microphone, and lots to talk about today, Ron. The convention, a Reds broadcaster saying something which he probably should not have said, and a few other things. And how are you on this fine Monday morning, my friend?
I'm feeling all right, and I enjoyed the Democratic convention. I'm not really looking forward to the Republican convention, which starts tonight.
Well, that'll certainly be a sight for sore eyes and a spectacle for the ages. Now, Ron is the author of a blog, which we encourage you to read, study, throw rotten eggs at if you don't like, tell your friends about, bookmark, screenshot, print, tweet, etc. It's called the ProgressiveProfessor.com. He's been doing it for about 11 and a half years. We're going to talk about some of the things.
It's 12 years. As of August 11th, it was 12 years.
Oh, goodness sakes, yeah. 12. Time flies when you're getting old, as my mama always said. 12 years. We forgot to celebrate the anniversary last time, but a dozen years of political and U.S. history, controversy, opinions, prognostications, and everything else in between.
So we're I must say that as of August 11th, it was 6,800 entries. It's more than that now, of course. It was exactly 6,800. I set it up to make sure I reach a zero number. So I reached 6,800 on August 11th.
You are a prolific person. We also encourage you, if your local library decides to open, so that people don't spread the cooties upon going to said reading establishment, be sure to read and check out and share with your friends the book about presidential assassinations. Look up Ronald L. Feynman, and many libraries, including several in my neck of the woods, have it. Or you can order it directly from Amazon or Rowan Littlefield. Ron, a master of many, many topics, many talents, and that's why we have him on the show a lot. Now, many things, again, as I mentioned, Ron, to discuss and delineate today. Rumor has it you were not only on the air with me last week, but you were on the air with the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears himself. And, of course, yeah. I listened.
Wonderful interview, as always, yes.
So we ask the same question we asked last time you were on with me and Scott the same week. How do Scott and I differ? You recently complimented me and told me that I could be a national talk show host. I'm not sure I agree with you. I greatly appreciate the compliment, but being quite the general, yeah, I think Scott's better than most of the people I hear on TV or radio. He's not really good looking enough to be on TV, but you know, he's got that face for radio, so that's okay.
That's terrible to say that.
Maybe you could take my face and use Scott's interviewing skills. You can kind of make it.
Yeah. Well, I think when I listen to Scott, I think he's more like a Walter Cronkite or Dan Rather type, is what
I always say. Yeah. Dick Cavett. I'm not sure I've even talked to you about this, Ron, but you know, he's talked to Cavett multiple times. And when you were old enough, you know, not much older than I, but old enough that you probably watched Dick Cavett a lot as a young man, and you may still watch the reruns as I do, that he talks to a variety of people. He doesn't really ever give much of a political opinion, kind of sways away from that. But he gets, you know, it's called, you know, cerebral. He gets deep down into the person's mind, isn't afraid to ask almost anything, and often finds out information and perspectives that you might not have expected to hear. So I often compare him to Dick Cavett. He has had Cavett on multiple times, and I've told Scott often, Ron, I think he's a lot like Dick Cavett. He's a much bigger guy. You know, Cavett's kind of a little skinny guy. Scott's a big guy. So, you know, very different in appearance, but in terms of their interviewing style and the kind of people they talk to, I think it's kind of similar. But you know, and we've talked about Dan Rather, Ron. He's intriguing because he didn't seem that politically slanted when he was on 60 Minutes or on the CBS News, but of late on social media, he is very, very liberal. something that may have just blossomed after his broadcasting days were over, or maybe he just suppressed it. Scott does have Sam Donaldson on a lot. I think Sam Donaldson is known, he's liberal, but not super liberal, although he comes across as, I would say, liberal to very liberal when he talks to Scott. So it's another case where you'll often find a particular broadcaster similar to the style of the person who is interviewing him. But do you agree about Dick Cavett, Ron? Do you see similarities in that cerebral style with Scott, or are you leaning more toward Cronkite?
I still would make it more like Walter Cronkite or Dan Rather, and I see you as more like Trevor Noah or Stephen Colbert. How's that?
Oh, yeah, I'll take Colbert. Not Tucker Carlson, I presume. I know you're a big fan of Tucker Carlson.
Oh, my God, no, you're not like Tucker Carlson. Oh, my God. He's horrible, I think. Absolutely horrific.
But you would agree. I know you don't agree with his politics, but he presents himself well. He's very well-spoken. Again, you know, look at Rush Limbaugh. You know, we don't agree with his politics. I mean, I might agree with a couple things, but in general, I find him very objectionable. But he doesn't really present himself well, and I guess that's kind of part of it. I think you would agree that despite his politics, let's put that aside, Carlson does present himself very well. So if you are conservative, if you're a Fox News kind of a person, I don't even see Fox News as being that conservative, but they're certainly to the right of CNN and MSNBC. Carlson might be a good person to follow because he does present himself in that professional manner. You would at least agree with that, right? That it's his,
his
presentation.
I wouldn't even invite him to dinner. No, actually, I think that he's very reckless in what he has said over the years, particularly in the last few years, and I think he sold his soul to Donald Trump, and that bothers me. So right. I actually agree on that.
Yeah, kind of surprised, but I mean, we take a look at how a person's presentation is, but you would also say, let's look at it maybe this way. There are liberal commentators. There are commentators on MSNBC and what I call the coronavirus news network, CNN, because that's 90% of their news is on coronavirus. There are commentators there. Even if you agree with them politically or partially, they don't really present themselves well. Maybe you can kind of look at it that way.
Well, who would you suggest fits what you're saying?
Yeah, well, other than Wolf Blitzer, I don't really have much liking for anybody I hear on CNN. Wolf kind of keeps his own politics out of it, and he is just so dignified in the way that he talks. You can't help
but... Yeah, well, he has a poker face. You can't figure out what he's thinking. He doesn't smile or get a sad look.
He's a bit like Scott in that way. Yeah, I agree. Wolf is maybe a more like a modern-day version of Scott, and I've discussed many times the famous bathroom story that when Scott and his cronies, not myself, but some other managers, went to Cleveland to the RNC in 2016, they saw Wolf in the men's room multiple times. So maybe that was kind of like a meeting of long-lost twin brothers, Wolf being a bit too old. Well, Wolf being much too old to be Scott's twin brother, but, you know, in a time warp situation, that's certainly possible. But, yeah, Wolf, I get as someone
talking about restrooms, I got to say, way back years and years and years ago, when I was in Washington, D.C., at the U.S. Capitol, I went into a restroom, and there was Senator Robert Byrd, of all people I despise, and he, you know, I didn't say anything, he didn't say anything, but I said, oh, my God, Robert Byrd, he's actually a human being, I thought, because I didn't like him.
Yeah, and I guess before we get onto the topics, I made a list of six topics, Ron. I'm sure we'll have time for half of them, but I want to talk about the one that's kind of near and dear to, I think, both of us first. When you saw Robert Byrd, did you send a tweet? Of course, that was a joke.
This is 1965.
Right, but you're still supposed to laugh, you know, because you would think Byrd and tweet kind of goes together. Yes, it was 1965 before Twitter, but it is funny nonetheless. So anyway, we're talking with Dr. Ronald L. Fineman from his domicile in Florida. Ron, I hear this may be the first time in recorded history that there will be two hurricanes hitting the Gulf. Now, you're not really in the Gulf,
my God.
But it's close enough to where you are, there would be an indirect effect. Did you also read that story? What do you think about the chance of two hurricanes at one time?
It looks like it's going to happen in Louisiana, which is so cursed. Oh, my God. But for a while, you know, one of them was coming toward us, Laura, and I was thinking, oh, and I'm starting my class this week in my course online on Tuesday, and I said, oh, no, please, beyond everything else, please don't do that. But it veered south of even the Florida Keys, so apparently it's missing us, but I feel horrible that it's going to hit Louisiana and Texas, and so will Marco. And they've had so much trouble in the past with Katrina and so many other hurricanes. It's a real cursed area, the New Orleans area and Louisiana. It's just terrible.
Marco, really, do you mean the hurricane or do you mean the senator with the big ears? Marco, do you mean the senator with the big ears or the hurricane?
No, the hurricane or the tropical storm at the moment. As of when we're speaking, yeah. No, it's Mark. It's interesting. His name is Marco. Marco and Laura. And I was saying, Laura, you got to be a nice lady. Don't bother us here. And she listened.
There's never been a Hurricane Adam, has there? I kind of feel left out. All these names.
Has there ever been a hurricane or tropical storm Adam? There must have been.
I think there should be. But so far.
But that's the first of the year. And usually the early ones are not serious. You know, they usually just waves or whatever. They might be more than 39 miles an hour, but not necessarily really a threat, you know.
So anyway, wisecracks aside, to our friends listening in Louisiana, southern Alabama, northwest Florida, that area, our thoughts are out.
Texas.
Our good wishes. Stay safe.
Oh, God.
Do what Ron did and purchase hurricane shutters. If you need to,
yes.
Evacuate. Come visit Ohio. It's nice. You know, Ohio is a lot nicer than people think it is. There's a lot more going on. And if you're a baseball fan, be sure to visit the Hall of Fame for the Reds in Cincinnati, as well as the Underground Railroad Museum in Cincinnati, Cincinnati being a big stop on the Underground Railroad.
I've seen the Underground Railroad Museum. It's great. And also the William Howard Taft Historic Site is in Cincinnati. I really liked Cincinnati when I was there a few years ago.
And goodness sakes, let's turn our attention to Cincinnati, Ohio. There was a major event involving Cincinnati, involving someone. Interestingly, Ron, this person, about my age, actually about nine months older. So someone I consider to be, well, I wouldn't call him a colleague. He's much more famous and much, much richer than I am. Of course, having a famous father who's very talented and well-known, it helps. But I think he's done a lot on his own. I'm not going to give the credit to his father, but, you know, it helps. Nothing wrong with that. There have been many families where there are broadcasters in multiple generations, the Careys, the Bucks, etc. And locally, the Brennemans. Now, Ron, you are familiar with what came out of Tom Brenneman's mouth a few days ago. He said a three-letter word when he didn't realize that the microphone was what we call hot.
Times. He said it three times in a row, yeah.
And
yeah,
it looks like he may be on the unemployment line. Now, Ron, when you heard about that, what did you think? What do you think? I know you're a big baseball fan as I am, and you know you have a bit of a liking for the Reds, and I've been a Reds fan for 45 years, etc. What did you think about what he did? And do you think he should get the axe, or what do you think the punishment should be to Mr. Tom Brenneman?
Well, I don't think he should get the axe. I think he could, I guess, maybe, you know, he's suspended already, isn't he, for a while,
They pulled him off the air after his apology. He's been taken off the website. He's not doing football games. And right now, he's probably sitting at home with his lovely wife and probably just watching TV and playing with his dogs because I don't think
he apologized?
He's working right now. So if it was your decision, Ron, what do you think needs to happen? And what do you think should be the punishment?
Has he apologized publicly?
Well, he's made apologies. People are kind of saying, well, are they sincere? And again, is our society so sensitive?
I would say suspend him, and maybe if it happens again, he's fired. I wouldn't, because honestly, we have politicians, including our president, that use foul language, and they get away with it. I'm not saying it's good, but I don't know if you should fire him over it, unless it continues to happen.
Is the political correctness so severe that you can't even make a little flub like that? I'm not defending what he said.
Well, it was accidental, wasn't it? It was not purposeful.
He didn't realize the mic was hot. But one thing I do know, see, as a broadcaster, unless you are 110% percent sure the mic isn't hot, you keep your lip buttoned. And that's just being professional.
Of course, we live in a society where our president and many other people, not just him, use crude language regularly in public. It never used to be that way.
I agree. It's a double standard. But there are just what you might call unwritten rules. And Cincinnati, too, is a city that has had in the past concerns that they are not fair to certain minorities. Gays and black people are two that come up. The former owner, Marge Schott, did so many great things for the city. She, you know, like myself, she was an off-the-cuff person, great sense of humor. But she also was prone to running her mouth and saying things that might offend people, some of the...
It was the owner. That's the difference. Yeah. She wasn't an employee.
Correct. She was an owner, but again, that doesn't mean that she still couldn't be disciplined. She was disciplined by Major League Baseball. Yeah, among two of the things that she said that really stick out were, A, only fruits wear earrings, and by fruits she didn't mean bananas and pears.
And oh, my gosh. I don't remember that.
She called some of her black players my $1 million. The next word starts with an N, and you know what it is. Now, she denied the second statement.
That's so many years ago. I don't recall the exact...
She denied the second statement. She said she called them her $1 million babies. Now, I don't believe her. And again, both statements, and again, more so the second one, are offensive. But yes, an owner is different than a broadcaster, but she could still be disciplined by Major League Baseball, which she was. And kind of an enigma. I mean, you admire a woman. I mean, even though she inherited it from her husband, she was involved in the family business for a while. And just like with Tom Brenneman being Marty Brenneman's son, you know, arguably the greatest baseball broadcaster ever. I mean, that's a biased opinion. But even if you're not as big a fan as Marty as I am, you'll agree that he's up there with some of the great ones. But... Yeah, with Marge Schott, you admire a woman owning a baseball team, admire the money she put into the city, the money she spent on the team, and you might laugh at her quirks. I mean, I heard that she went around to the office once and turned off all the computers because she thought it was wasting electricity. You know, a multi-millionaire living in the ritzy suburb of Indian Hill, but, you know, she's penny-wise and pound-foolish. But, you know, you kind of love her quirks, and I'm quirky also, so I kind of feel for that, but... As a broadcaster, I watch what I say, even when the microphone's not hot. I mean, I have respect for people. I wouldn't say some of the things I'm hearing some of these people say. But I certainly know as a professional, unless you're 110% sure the microphone is not hot, you keep your lip buttoned. And if you have to say something nice, like, good morning, I'm glad to be here. What a great day to do my job. You don't say what Tom Brenneman said. And, you know, Marge Schott, well, kind of unfortunate some of the things that occurred with her, but the comments that she made, again, that second one that I mentioned in particular, inexcusable and very offensive. But you do balance that out with all the great things that she did. You know, Tom Brenneman, versatile broadcaster. He's done pretty much every major sport. He has a great voice, and I met him once at Red's Caravan. You know, didn't know because I didn't know much about him. He was so nice, and he was genuine. I mean, a lot of people you meet, famous people, they're a little fake, but they try to be nice. But I understand they're busy. They get a lot of requests for autographs and whatever else. Tom Brenneman was genuinely nice. Maybe there was a connection because we're the same age. I don't know. Marty Brenneman, his father, also very nice. Humble people, as nice as a neighbor living next door mowing his lawn, as far as I see it. So it's kind of hard to say, Ron, but you and I would be of the agreement that what he said was very uncool. But he's not perfect, and we need to move on. As long as he does apologize and show remorse, we would be inclined to give him a second chance, but two strikes and he's out. So you and I would agree with that, correct?
Yes, and I want to point out that my online course, of course, we're always told, because it's going to be recorded as well as live, that we have to be careful that we don't use bad language, you know, so I wouldn't anyway, but it is going to be online live and then be recorded, so certainly I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. But if a student does it, I can't prevent that, but I understand that it will be recorded after the fact with the bleep, you know, so it will not, if somebody reading the transcript, they will not see what was said. That's what I was told because I asked about that.
Well, I guess, jokingly, Ron, how can you teach about Donald Trump or other president, even Nixon? Without using the S word or similar language.
I do, but it's not easy. I agree. So. But I'm a gentleman. I do not talk that way generally. Although I think I've joked and told you that sometimes I'm watching the the 45th president on TV, and I do curse a little bit to the TV set, and I've joked, oh, my God, this good boy who never used foul language is using it, and if the TV's recording it, oh, my God.
Now, later today, Ron, and again, we're repeating the show, but assuming you're listening on Monday, at 4 p.m. Eastern, I will be joined by a conservative commentator, Mike Essen, who lives quite close to you in Florida.
Yes.
On Blog Talk Radio, a competing talk station, but I don't really consider them to be a competition. I consider them to be a colleague, as all talk stations are on the same team as far as I'm concerned, especially in these crazy times. So Mike and I, Ron, talking about who knows what, you know, things we agree on, things we don't agree on. But just like with yourself and myself, we always find humor. So there will be laughter through multiple instances, and I encourage everybody to listen. I will be posting it on social media, 4 p.m. today. Be there or be square. Live program with me and Mike Essen. Plus, we're taking phone calls. You can call me. You can call Mike. If you disagree, you agree, you want to tell a joke or whatever you want to tell me, that's fine. You know, with me, I don't really care what you have to say. I respect, well, I care. I don't really care if I don't agree. That's what I mean. But I respect and appreciate all opinions. And, you know, free speech is one thing that we hold so dear as Americans. And maybe we'll be discussing the contrast of that show with the how this show goes, just like we discuss how Scott Spears differs from yours truly. Another topic here on, before we get to some of your recent blogs, or if there is time for that, let's call this Garden Gate. They always put the word gate after a scandal, you know, borrowing from Watergate. The famous garden at the White House that Melania seems to have given a makeover. And what do you think about that?
Well, it's not the most important thing, I guess, in the world, but I think it's still seen as somehow horrible to do anything to Jacqueline Kennedy's rose garden, because Jacqueline Kennedy is so highly admired.
I guess Melania, a bit like Jackie Kennedy, or maybe she thinks she is, and that, you know, she's well-dressed and kind of glamorous, but I would get the feeling your opinion of Jackie is higher than your opinion of Melania. Would that be
There's no comparison, let's say. I'm looking forward to Dr. Jill Biden as First Lady.
So, the garden, I think we would agree. You know, I don't claim to be an expert in that stuff. I would say that Jackie Kennedy's garden was a bit prettier, but, you know, Melania may have some different tastes. I think it still looks nice. You have to look at it live, because photographs don't really give flowers justice. But it would appear that the tastes in gardening and horticulture between those two lovely ladies is not the same, and we'll put it that way. Now, Ron, on social media, you made some rather strong posts about not feeling that Joe Biden has a type of Alzheimer's or dementia. Now, in the past, you and I have talked about this, and, you know, we agree partially. That is, I feel that the mental lapses are stronger than you do, but you do agree that he certainly has suffered some age-related issues. But
so has Donald Trump, and he's a lot more crude and rude. There's no
correct
comparison.
But we are talking about Biden right now, and you know, Trump, well, he's something else, of course. But you made a post on social media that if people think that Joe Biden has dementia or Alzheimer's, they will be defriended. Now,
not you, not but generally, yes. I've really told people do not keep on throwing right-wing BS at, because I won't tolerate it. So I have blocked a few, but I wouldn't block you.
So basically, I am exempt from that. I'm allowed to say that Joe has dementia or Alzheimer's or a similar type of condition. I don't claim to be an expert on...
I think all of it by saying it, but yes, you can say it, but I really object to it. But
I don't expect you to agree. But you won't defriend me, or I think the word is unfriend. But you know what?
No,
I think defriend
you.
Is actually – I like defriend better.
Do you like it or not?
So, but have you defriended anybody since that statement or blocked anybody?
No, because nobody specifically since then has said anything that's made me want to do it. But I have blocked some people in the past for crude, rude language to me. Yes, that I have.
Okay. So maybe you have softened your stance a bit. But you would agree.
No, because – really, I guess because maybe people who don't agree are not inciting me, I guess, is what it is. I guess.
Or maybe they're just afraid to question your greatness.
No, if you're afraid, it's good to be a little afraid.
Now, in your blog, Ron, the ProgressiveProfessor.com, on Friday the 21st, Joe Biden had a masterful performance last night as he accepted the Democratic nomination for president, blah, blah, blah. And we'll get to the blah, blah, blahs shortly. One thing I've heard a lot about, Ron, and I agree with this. I didn't hear all of the speech. Really, I kind of got disgusted after seeing Nancy Pelosi. She wears too much lipstick, and she has to keep smiling when she talks. I really don't know why. She really turns me off, that lady. I will say, for someone who's 80, she has all of her faculties. She doesn't have any any age-related mental deterioration conditions, like I believe Biden
does. Maxine Waters, who's 82.
Yeah. But
she,
even you would agree,
Ron, Waters.
She wears way too much lipstick. And why does she have to keep smiling when she talks? It just looks so fake.
I think nervousness. You know, she's a bitch. You might be surprised. My son has met her in the past in D.C., and he says she's a bit shy, believe it or not. I know politicians are naturally in public, and actually she's better now in the way she presents herself when she speaks than she did when she was speaker in the 2007-11 period. And even friends of mine have said they like her more now than the way she was then, because she seemed timid back then. She's gotten more confident.
I mean, I don't question her intelligence and knowledge, but she really rubs me the wrong way. She does not seem like a good spokesperson for this country. I admire, 80 years old, she has her faculties, but just her way she presents herself, she's kind of creepy. I don't know how else to say it. That really turned me off.
She's going to be leaving by 2022, at least leadership, because it's been agreed there'll be new leadership. I wrote about that one day. There'll be new leadership by 2022, because the other two top Democratic leaders are also 80, 81. So it's time for a change, but not until after the election or by the midpoint of the next term.
But you can see where I'm coming from, where I say that she just has that kind of a creepy nature to her. And
I don't call it creepy. I think a lot of men that are in politics are creepy. You know, I think Ted Cruz
would agree with that. Just her, I
maybe it's because she's an alpha woman. Some people don't like powerful women. Is that the reason?
Well, I think you know that that's not the case with me, and I'm
A lot of men don't like women who are powerful. That's why I'm saying that. Yeah.
That's not the case with me. Let me go ahead and give you the benefit of the doubt that you're not accusing me of feeling that way, but some people do.
I'm not accusing, but I'm saying a lot of people don't like a powerful woman, and she.
I would agree,
is tough,
but that isn't.
With a Trump.
But that, of course, isn't true with me. And I agree, there are men who are creepy. And I guess her creepiness is a little bit different. But she is not someone that I feel is good for the face of the House of Representatives. Very uneasy feeling with her.
Of old time, as far as speaker, you know, a lot of them are pretty horrible. I don't think Boehner is anything great. I don't think Ryan's anything great. I don't think McCarthy, the minority leader, would be great. I think, no matter what you think of her, I think all those men are horrific, you know, people, and they're getting worse, because I think Boehner was better than Ryan, and Ryan is better than Kevin McCarthy would be.
Boehner's okay. He's not perfect. I mean, he is an Ohioan. I kind of like that, but he's an interesting dude.
The one who followed him, Paul Ryan, is disgraceful, I think. But actually, I think Kevin McCarthy is not good. He won't be speaker anyway. There's no way the Republicans are going to win the House.
Getting back to what I said 5 minutes ago before I digressed, there's been a lot of talk, Ron, that there's not really a platform for the Democratic ticket. It's more anybody but Donald. We just hate Donald. Just get rid of him. We'll just do better. Do you see some real issues being discussed?
They want to reverse all the damage that's been done on so many damn issues, and I think that's essential before you do anything else and deal with the environment, like civil liberties, things like that, but also deal with the pandemic and with the depression we're in, which we are. I think there's plenty on the plate, you know, and it'll be discussed when the debates come up.
Here's something which came up, Ron. You know, we both admire Walter Mondale. You remember the Walter Mondale-Gary Hart primary. And Gary Hart was kind of a sensation. And the Mondale people would say, where's the beef? You know, what exactly is he going to do? What's his standpoint? And that was, you know, again, it has Columbus and Ohio roots. Wendy's being, well, at that time at least, a Columbus-based company with Clara Peller, the adorable old lady who would look at other hamburgers and say, where's the beef? And they would show how Wendy's hamburgers had a lot of beef, a lot of dead cow between the buns. And that line, which is still famous wonderful,
like
was borrowed by Walter Mondale. And so you know what I'm talking about. And for our younger listeners, when Gary Hart and Walter Mondale were running, 84, I believe, in the primary, Gary Hart was a sensation. He was charismatic. He was good-looking.
He was so good-looking.
Yeah. And Mondale, you know, okay, well, are we getting 4 more years of Carter and inflation and lines at the gas pump, or are we getting someone who's going to really help this country? And you kind of knew where Mondale stood, but it really was kind of mysterious, even to this day, as to what exactly Gary Hart stood for. So people would say, where's the beef? You remember that, Ron.
Yes, 84 that was, yeah.
Do you see a similar kind of situation with this Democratic ticket? It's like, where is the beef? What? Okay, they don't like Donald Trump. We know that. Donald Trump doesn't like them. But what are they going to do to solve the world's problems? What are they going to do besides requiring people to wear a mask? That's the only stand that I've really heard about.
Well, they're going to restore the good relations with Europe. They're going to stop being overly bosom buddies with dictators. And he said this in the speech. He wasn't listening, I guess, or he didn't follow up to finish it. And we're going to deal with the issue of the unemployment and the homelessness that's developing, and also the pandemic. You know, as far as leaving it to science, not to people. You know, like President Trump making up his own science. There's a lot that he said, but it's also only 20 minutes. But there's plenty of other people made speeches, and there's plenty of time to develop this, including in commercials online in the next 10 weeks. So I would not say that it was not substantive, but you can only do so much in 20 minutes.
So you would not agree that there's an issue with where's the beef? They have made pretty clear what they're going to do.
In this case. No.
When Gary Hart was running against Mondale, did you kind of feel for the people who said, where's the beef? Or did you feel that Gary Hart actually had some real plans for making the country great?
I wasn't a big fan of Gary Hart. I just liked Mondale. You know, I know you did, too. I just thought, you know, he had worked with George McGovern 12 years earlier, Gary Hart. He had been his campaign manager. But I understood he was running, but I really thought, although I guess I was wrong to think so, that Mondale had a shot at defeating Reagan, and of course he did not. He only won Minnesota and Washington, D.C., because Reagan was a good actor, and he had not been good in the first couple of years. We had a recession, very bad one, in 82, but by 84, things turned around, and the economy is the issue, and that's the major reason, I think, that Trump is done, because besides the pandemic, the economy, whether it's his fault or not that it happened, the fact is when the economy's bad historically, the president office loses re-election. It happened with Bush 1, it happened with Carter, it happened with Ford, it happened with Hoover. It's just reality. So I think that that's still going to be the big issue, whether it's his fault or not, and, you know, obviously, you can't blame it all on Trump, but he's the one that's there, and unemployment's high, and homelessness, and everything else, and nothing much has been done about it. And they're not agreeing to a second bill after the first one because the Republicans won't cooperate with the House. So I think it's going to be the main thing why people vote him out.
We're talking with Dr. Ron Feinman, the progressive professor, presidentologist, as I call him, on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Ron, in that article from last Friday, again, expanding on what you just said or implied, Joe Biden made clear that America is in a crisis, and forwarding about two lines, the second Great Depression. Now, Ron, NASDAQ is over 11,000. That's the farthest it's been, and it's climbing. 10,000 was considered to be a milestone. We're 10% above that. The New York Stock Exchange, DJIA, Dow Jones Industrial component of the market. It isn't quite as high as it was before the COVID debacle, but it's getting there. It was 27-something, I believe, and certainly much higher than it was during the Obama administration. And when I got gas a couple days ago, I paid $1.839. I know gas is cheaper in Ohio, but that's pretty good. So I'm seeing good gas prices, record-breaking stock indices, a lot of unemployment. But Ron, that wasn't caused by Don old J. Trump. That was caused by the governors and others who have shut the economy down, putting everybody from bartenders and hairdressers, rideshare drivers, waiters and waitresses, people whose jobs were they were stolen from them, as far as I'm concerned, or their amount of work, such as in the case of rideshare drivers and anybody in the transportation or travel industry, their workload was greatly reduced. So I don't blame Donald for that. So why do you think that we're in a second Great Depression? To me, it sounds like we're in an economic revival, despite all the other problems.
Well, the stock market is not a reality story about the whole country. A small percentage of people own stock or a lot of stock, so the wealthy get wealthier, but the middle class is suffering, the poor are in desperate circumstances, and with people's apartments and homes being taken away from them because they cannot pay rent or the mortgage, and more people, higher unemployment rate than ever since 1933, higher than indeed in 2008, which was the all-time high since the 1930s, but it's past the second It's past the Great Recession, as they call it, under Bush going into Obama. I don't think you can go by the stock market. I mean, because I really think that it's been artificially manufactured by the Federal Reserve, putting money in. And yes, a small percentage of people are doing very well. They always do. But we have more inequities, more unfairness in our society than we've ever had. And I don't see it ending because nothing's being done about even giving help to people. You know, the first, $1,200 was nice and unemployment, but now they're not even extending it. So people are suffering horribly. And they're not going to vote for the government that is not able to do anything about it.
But the unemployment is caused, Ron, because it was extremely low beginning of this year. It's caused by the governors and others who are shutting down the economy, telling waiters and waitresses and bartenders they can't do their job. Our governor telling bartenders that you got to close up shop at 11, which is when bars start getting busy, and you have to stop serving alcohol at 10. The travel industry,
well,
obviously.
Well, notice, though, like even in Columbus, Ohio State University, they went back into classes, and the kids are all partying as if it's normal times, and suddenly we're having lots of cases, and a lot of universities are having to shut down and go remote because of reckless, irresponsible behavior at a time of the worst disease situation since 1918-1919. So it's not going to get better as long as people don't obey the rules.
You think that COVID is more serious than, for example, HIV and AIDS? I don't think it's even close.
Oh, I think it is, causing a lot more deaths.
Well, we don't agree on that, but if for those who've read social media, on these kinds of topics, Ron and I really diverge quite a bit. This is one thing where we agree almost 0%. And again, we're not here to debate, but I don't think for one second how anybody could believe that COVID is even close to the devastation of HIV and AIDS, something which continues to this very day, even though people can now take medication that will make them essentially undetectable and quite possibly live a normal lifespan. That medication isn't free. It has side effects, and who knows if it's going to continue to work, or there might be some other issues. Not to mention,
well, every bit of medication has side effects.
Correct.
But the thing is, we also have a country that hates science, and there's already an indication half the population will not take the vaccine if there is a vaccine in the future, and that means we're going to have massive loss of life going on for years, unfortunately, if that's the way people react, that they believe the president, who doesn't know a damn thing about science and rejects science and decides to indeed promote his magical cures, which are insane.
I would say that if folks want to read more about what I think about COVID and the political ramifications, out of lack of a better word, and other things related to this, debacle, I think, is a appropriate word, at least for my end, versus what Ron and others think, please do read social media. There's quite a bit to peruse.
So yes, of course.
Let's go ahead and switch topics. Again, this show is, we try to keep it a no COVID, no mask zone, but really a lot of that's
just unavoidable. We're running out of time if you look at it. It's already 43 minutes about.
So as my beloved late mama said, time flies when you are having fun. But again, we're trying to keep this as much as possible a no COVID, no mask zone. But I think everybody would agree talking about that is inevitable. But we also want to tickle a few brain cells, and if you want to read more about it and talk about it, make comments, whatever, make emojis, good, bad, or humorous, please do read social media, read Ron's Facebook and Twitter posts, and read mine, because that will certainly keep you busy as you make your own decisions. And bottom line is one thing.
I want to thank you again for inviting me.
Well, we got about 3 or 4 minutes left, so not quite so fast. But one thing Ron and I value the fact that it varies is free speech. And yes, we're America. Say what you feel. As long as you're not hitting below the belt or using hate speech, your opinions are welcomed, acknowledged, and very much respected. And that's really what makes this country great. Our freedom of the media and the ability to go on shows like this and not only shoot the breeze and tell a few jokes, but talk about important topics. Although we do remind
you. I just want to remind you that Trump attacks the so-called fake media. No other president's ever attacked the media like this president. That makes him dangerous, because without a free media, whether you like it or not, we're in real danger.
But I do remind you that if you are in broadcasting media, take a lesson from Mr. Tom Brenneman. Unless you're 100% sure the mic is not hot, keep your lip buttoned until you're supposed to speak and say things that are of a professional nature. How you feel in your heart, well, that's your business, but many of those utterances are best saved for when you are 100% sure you are in a private setting. I think Tom Brenneman knows that, but in case you don't, as a listener, maybe someone who calls this show, please do keep that in mind. That's probably the best way to say it. About 2 or 3 minutes left of the show, Ron. Again, we do encourage people to read his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. On the
also want to mention History News Network under my name, Ronald L. Feynman. I've done over 150 articles. They should look at that also.
Definitely, if you are bored, maybe on summer vacation, definitely look up History News Network, check out Ron's book from the library, and of course, read theprogressiveprofessor.com. You wrote last Thursday, Ron, in your blog, Barack Obama and Kamala Harris speeches will stand out as models in the long run of American history. Just as FDR prevailed, Joe Biden with Kamala Harris by his side. Now that we know how to pronounce her name, it's not Kamala, it's not Kamala, it's Kamala.
Yeah.
And with Barack Obama and Michelle Obama backing him up, will succeed in dealing with the most serious set of crises, both domestic and foreign, since the term of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or some people say Roosevelt. You know, Ron, my mom, was often very critical of people who mispronounce words, and she never liked hearing Roosevelt. So let's just end the show on a humorous note. One thing I heard was that Theodore Roosevelt, his fourth cousin twice removed, and also Franklin Roosevelt's wife, Eleanor, and of course Franklin, some of them pronounced it Roosevelt, some pronounced Roosevelt. So that's my question to you. Is it Roosevelt? Is it Roosevelt? Or does it really matter?
Well, I never was aware that anybody pronounced their own name Roosevelt in the Roosevelt family, but I've always understood it to be Roosevelt. At least that's what scholars use. I've never heard a scholar ever use Roosevelt, but I suppose maybe, I'm just guessing, I'm more joking, maybe Alice Roosevelt Longworth, the rebel daughter of Teddy, maybe she liked to be called Roosevelt. Who knows? Because she spoke her mind her whole life, living to age 96. She
was so just in like tribute to my great late great mother Sherry, I just lost her at such an early age. She was only 53.
Wow!
She was so critical about some people's pronunciations, but you know what, Mama, you were right. It is Roosevelt. And Ron, yes, having a PhD in presidentology, and myself being a bit of a wordsmith, I think Ron would agree. I'm pretty well versed and in the English language.
You should be on a national show.
It is Roosevelt. And it is Kamala Harris. And, of course, our current president, his name is Donald John Trump.
Maybe it's Trump.
Well, maybe it is. If I ever meet Donald, I'll be sure to ask him. I'll say, hey, Donnie, by the way.
Yeah.
So as we now end the show, we thank you for listening. We invite folks to listen at 4 p.m. to Blog Talk Radio, where yours truly will be on with Mike Essen. Or also, I will be posting the tape of that show so you can listen on demand ad nauseum. And again, if you don't agree with me, feel free to email me, tweet me, Facebook me. If you do agree with me, if you want to give me a gold star, well, that's fine, too. We thank you again, Ron, for joining us. Hopefully the hurricanes will miss the United States, not just your neck of the woods, but the vulnerable Gulf Coast area. But, you know, weather, even if it does involve unfortunate circumstances, is a fascinating topic. And I think one way we can learn about our great country is the different climates that we experience as we travel.
Yeah, I have one more minute I want to mention. What about this asteroid that has a very slight chance of hitting the Earth the day before the election? I was stunned to read that.
Well, maybe we could think of a few places we'd like the asteroid to hit, couldn't we?
I was just amazed by that. Like 0040, I think, was the chance, you know, far less than 1%.
And on that note, we thank you folks for listening to The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Send me an email on our private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com.